And that you've been listening to the Oklahoma News Network. Right now, it's time for One-on-One with the Pros. I'm Tom Davis. I got Kurt Mead in here with us. And, Kurt, we're talking a little bit about boundaries today. What do we got here today?
Talking about boundaries. We live in a system of boundaries. Do you have any boundaries in your life, Tom?
Oh, yeah, plenty of them.
What kind?
Well, let's see. First of all, I live in a house, so I guess I have boundaries to kind of keep me in and maybe the weather elements out. That's one kind of boundary.
That's one.
You know, I have relationships with people, and I respect those boundaries, with the highest regard, because without that kind of respect, you have no boundary, and without that kind of boundary, you have no respect.
That's good. That's very good. And also, creation is governed by boundaries.
It most certainly is, you know.
There are rules of nature.
There are.
So if I decided to jump out the window here, there would be a consequence that there's a boundary to what I can do and can't do. And I and you and if we're halfway sensible, we respect these boundaries of nature.
Yeah, bad things can happen.
You know, even the astronauts, when they go up into space, they have to respect the boundaries. They have to work within the framework of the boundaries of nature.
Mm-hmm. They do. They have to escape the nature of Earth's gravity, and that's a tricky boundary to cross. But they have to do it very carefully, and they have to do it within the system.
Within the system, and the nature, Tom, it has absolutes. There's absolute boundaries, the inertia, the gravity, the things that we can use to our advantage, but they have absolutes. There are certain things we can and can't do with the laws of nature.
Indeed.
And don't you wish it would be that simple with the nature of man?
Man just doesn't quite catch on like we should. We gotta up our game a little, don't we, Kurt?
We have to up our game. Don't you wish that human nature was as reliable as nature?
That would be nice.
You know, and what we do sometimes we say that our boundaries are moral laws, civil laws, which are good laws, but they're not the best laws. Because when I have a law that I'm going to try to keep, then who sets the standard?
Well, one would think that God set the standard, but we as men, we sometimes believe that we know better at times, and we choose to govern ourselves a little differently.
And we also, we kind of use the framework of religion to kind of, you might say, follow our own standard.
Mm-hmm. Here's the guide, but we give ourselves plenty of latitude, but like we were talking last week.
Tom, you don't do this, but it's legal for me to do it. So what that is, and Charlie and I have talked about this, and I think you and I touched upon it, that is what I call the ideal law. What's ideal for me?
Yeah. Hey, it works for me. I don't know about you, but hey, it works for me.
Yeah, it works for me. I mean, I mean, these people at Walmart, they can stand in line all day, but I want the express line.
Mm-hmm. Whether or not you have 20 items or less.
Whether or not, no, I might have 50 items, but it doesn't matter because I'm in a hurry.
Mm-hmm. And that's all that matters.
That's all that matters. And even in the house of God, we stretch the boundaries.
Yeah, that's been coming to light, yes.
And we have a lot of these boundaries so often, Tom, that we establish personal boundaries. They follow our own natural appetites. Mm-hmm. What I want. Mm-hmm. What you want. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes, what that does, it presents a double standard. And the Bible calls that being double-minded.
Double-minded.
Double-minded. Now, what do you think that means, being double-minded?
Well, it doesn't mean double-jointed. I know that much. But I get the feeling you're going to explain it to me in pretty good detail there, Kurt.
And when I'm double-minded, the only thing that results from that, Tom, is evil.
It sounds like it would.
And then it places me under boundaries that I wasn't created to be under. You know, when I follow these boundaries that are man-made, then I am under the boundaries of fear. I'm under the boundaries of doubt. Mm-hmm. I'm under the boundaries of pride. Mm-hmm. All these boundaries that I wasn't created to be confined to these boundaries, but since I violated the law, then I have to submit myself to these other boundaries that plague me and that pull me down.
Oh, boy. Got to watch out for this stuff, folks.
Got to watch out.
Got to be mindful of being double-minded.
And so I need to understand how to manage the boundaries.
Yes. Everybody needs the old guidebook.
And that's what we do there at Wellspring, Tom. We're not a cotton candy type of religion.
Mm-hmm.
There's some expectations.
Yeah, you have to have expectations.
And there's some accountability. Mm-hmm. And so what we're talking about is managing or mismanaging our boundaries that we have to follow.
And it's not easy, but that's why it's called managing, because managing means that there are a lot of different things that are going to come to play. There are going to be a lot of distractions. There are going to be some bumps in the road, some forks in the road, and you have to be wise enough to manage a good decision, the right decision, the correct path.
Very good. Very good. And it's like, I tell you, before we moved over on the east side, we had a little place on the west side. And I had a beautiful plant right next to our church. We had a church at that time. And I thought that was just a beautiful plant. Had shiny leaves and really, really, you know, just a robust type of piece of vegetation. And I talked to men in our church, and I said, come out and check. This is pretty. You know what it turned out to be?
What?
Poison ivy.
Oh, no.
I didn't know poison ivy grew that way.
No. You found out.
Have you ever fought against poison ivy?
I lost, yeah. It's not a battle you're going to win.
Well, I went to Lowe's and grabbed all the equipment I needed, the gloves, the chisels, the things to cut out. And I guarantee, Tom, when you get down, you know, we see poison ivy and we think it's just a vine, but when you get down to the root.
It's big.
It's big. Yeah. It's as big around as your ankle or bigger.
Yeah, it's huge.
And I thought it was pretty. You know, I didn't know any different. You know, we think our boundaries are legitimate. We think they're okay. We can kind of do things this and that way and kind of break the system a little bit. Or even if we don't even think we're breaking the system, what happens, Tom, so often is we're raised that way.
Mm-hmm.
So if I don't break this system in my life, then I have that root continuing to grow.
And it is Dickens of a time trying to get that thing removed.
And you know what the root is to all evil? Mm-hmm. Have you any idea?
The love.
The love of what?
Of money.
The love of money. And that's the root or the boundary of all evil. Mm-hmm. That causes divorce. It causes crime. Can you think of anything else?
Envy. And with that, people figure that they're entitled to somebody else's simply because, by golly, I'm going to square the deal with somebody, and they create their own boundary by eliminating one.
So it establishes a boundary of evil, and really what it boils down to, I believe, Tom, it's I want self to be served.
Hmm.
And if I'm not being served, I want those in my family or those I'm close to, they deserve that.
Mm-hmm.
They deserve this what I call stuff, which money buys.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I have to rip a family apart, I will do that because I'm entitled to that.
Mm. That's not a good boundary.
That's not a good boundary. And you think here in America, And Charlie and I talked about the word deserve. You know, you got the word degrease. Well, what are you doing when you degrease something?
Well, you get rid of the grease.
What do you do when you deserve something?
You have to get rid of the serve.
Get rid of the serve. And we've become a nation who we're so bent on acquiring stuff that we have lost the will to serve, even in the house of God.
We see it every day.
We see it every day. And like you and I talked about a couple weeks ago, we go to a funeral and we preach that everyone's going to heaven, even though they have the root of we're taking poison ivy to heaven with us. Is that
Oh, man.
You think it's going to work that way?
There are a few other steps that you kind of missed along the way. It's not one, two, three. it's a straight line. But
it's a straight line. And
but you can't skip two to get to number three.
Not at all.
You're born, you live, you got to live right. And by the grace of God, three.
And you know, you live right, and that puts us under the boundary of the realistic law. We talked about the ideal law, what's right for me, but if I live right, now I'm under more of a social law. That still won't get me to heaven, but at least I'm doing what's right. Mm-hmm. At least I'm considering you now as an individual. Mm-hmm. It's just not about all about me. It's about you. It's about community. It's about serving the community, but still doing what's right is still under the law.
Mm-hmm. We have the social law, but we also have the superior law.
That's right. The superior. That's a good point. So if I have the wrong type of root system cropping up in my life, that affects my relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It compromises my integrity. And then again, I brush it aside because I say, well, that's all forgiven. You have any children?
Six. Just a few.
So you probably, you've heard about every excuse in the world for breaking certain laws.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know any better, or you didn't tell me, or oh, did that include me?
Oh, yeah, you've heard them all.
So what we're doing there at the clinic, Tom, is we're rebuilding to new. And how's that happen? Goes back to what we've been talking about for years here on One-on-One. Be still and know that He's God. Be still and know that He has boundaries. Be still and know that He has an objective for my life. But if I'm running around performing all these acts without His leading, then I'm just.
You're running in circles, son.
I'm glad you said. I was a loss for words. I'm running in circles. But that's a great substitute.
Uh-huh.
You know, service is a great substitute.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like substitute salt?
No, I can't. No, not really.
Do you like substitute sugar?
No.
So we have all these substitutes because that's all we know. Mm-hmm. We just know that we need to be. You like substitute what?
Not much of anything substitute. I'm pretty much old school real deal kind of guy.
So if we can't have the original, then we sub maybe building projects.
Uh-huh.
We sub maybe, service projects. Mm-hmm. But those are good, but they're not knowing the objective of God and pursuing His objective. Mm-hmm. So we have what He's told us to do.
Leadership comes from above.
And that's hard to get, Tom. It's what happens is what God's looking for. And I just recently understood this. To a different degree, a different level, is He has these boundaries that I'm supposed to keep, and if I keep these boundaries, if I'm found, you know, I don't want to hire a highway patrolman who's always known to be breaking the law.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want a bank teller who has a record of being a bank robber.
Sometimes it happens in both cases.
I don't want a broadcaster who brings in bad vibes or bad ripples.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to be wise in what you're doing here. What's the same way? I have to know what my boundaries are.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be found faithful. Paul told Timothy, you pick out faithful men. You look out and see who's keeping the boundaries within the law, and then you pick them. Paul didn't pick them. He chose his little buddy Timothy because he knew that Timothy knew who was keeping the boundaries. So if I have an unbridled tongue, if I have unbridled relationships, if I have things that's not under God's standard, then I can't get any farther than that because God judges all these things. But then I think, oh, He's a forgiving God. Well, He might be, but I'm still violating His boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
He has boundaries of marriage. And if we don't abide by those boundaries, what happens?
Bad things happen.
Bad things happen. And who's to blame for it?
Humans.
So I need to find out. And if I don't know what the boundaries are, which is easy for me, if I could care less about certain boundaries, then that kind of gets me off the hook for a while.
Temporary reprieve, huh? Or self-delusional.
That's reprieve. Self-delusional. So the reason we have these, and what we do, Tom, in the, I'm going to just throw it out this way, what we do in the religious arena, we say, well, Jesus, he's fulfilled the law, so I don't need to keep the law.
He fulfilled it so that you can keep it.
So I could keep. He fulfilled the law so I could keep my money. Yeah. I don't need to understand that the love of money is the root of all evil. I don't need to understand that I'm not to behave this way. But what God is doing through his law, he's testing and he's trying my obedience to see if I'm ready for the next step. If I still have anger issues, if I still have issues of fear or insecurity, that's not passing God's test.
Not at all.
We're told in 1 John chapter 5 that God's commandments, they're not grievous, but we as individuals, we as children, we think, I don't want to sit in my chair, teacher. I want to roam around the class. I want to do my own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when that happens?
Well, you not only do you do your own thing, you disrupt others along the way who are trying to do the right thing. So there's a little causation going on there, all because one person wanted to do his or her own thing. Others wind up being involved.
Uh-huh. And that's what we want as humans. We want other people involved in our misdeeds.
Mm.
And we think, well, if I can get a little covey of people doing what I'm doing, then it must be okay.
Yeah, you'll delude yourself into believing that wrong is right.
If I can delude a whole nation into believing that the consumer is always right, the love of money, there's no evil in that.
People get that confused. They would say money is the root of all evil, but the caveat, the real text is the love of money is evil.
That's it. And what God does through these boundaries, he tells us that he will test and prove us to find out where our heart is.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can deceive myself and think, I don't love money, Tom. I'm not pursuing the love of money. And he says, okay, let's just throw yet a few tests out there and see where your heart is. Let's find out if you're double-minded. Let's find out if your heart is in the right place. And that's on a daily thing. We have to face these battles on a daily basis.
We do. And it's right there. It's called living. And every day you take a breath, every day that you put one foot in front of the other, there's a test for you out there, it appears.
So what happens as we begin to pass these tests, Tom, I'm gonna throw it out at you this way. They become a springboard. What do you think of as a springboard? What do you think of? What comes to mind? A springboard.
Well, if you do things correctly, I mean, your next step is going to be a lot better.
Okay.
And a lot better after that, and a lot better after that. However, if you start doing wrong, you know, you're going to jump into something bad in a hurry.
And it's not that God punishes us, but he allows us to get out there in the deep, and we have to say, hey, I'm out too deep.
Mm-hmm.
I need a rescue. Mm-hmm. And that's where we talked about that a couple weeks ago. That's where the certain man who's traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, he got to a desperate situation.
Very desperate situation.
And I don't need God if my situation's not desperate. I mean, I say I go to church, I have my prayers, I have my devotional, but if I'm not in a desperate situation, I don't really need God. We don't need God in America.
That's kind of when you need God the most, because you start getting to the point where you're taking things for granted and you're not being mindful of the reality of things.
It's like that man who the Samaritan rescued. How much garbage or stuff was rescued?
How much garbage of stuff was
how
rescued?
How much garbage or stuff did the Samaritan rescue?
Oh, no, that didn't take anything.
Didn't take anything.
No.
You know, we have all these weights and things that weigh us down, and we still want to be rescued.
Yeah, indeed. So, goodness, sorry about that. You always have to be mindful of the next step. You have to be mindful of where you are. You have to be mindful of what lies ahead. You have to be mindful of an awful lot in this living world.
That's you hit the key there, Tom, in this living world. And really what this world is, according to the Word, this world is a disaster area. This whole world, we're living in a fallen state.
Mm-hmm.
But we like to build amusement parks in a disaster area.
We like to laugh at our situation.
We like it to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they did 9/11 or any of these high profile things that we've seen in our news the past 15, 20 years, they didn't go in and camp out in these disaster areas.
No.
But that's what we do. We camp out until we reach that desperate situation. So we don't really realize what Paul told the Ephesians, hey, redeem the time because the day's evil. We don't see evil out there because it's
not. You see what you see, and we no longer have that way to kind of cut through it.
That's it.
And seems anyway.
And we want a feel-good society. We want to be made to feel good. We don't want to be made to feel like, hey, there's something I need to do or something I need to change. Mm-hmm. And the only way I can put faith in motion, Tom, is go back and be still and know that He's God. Mm-hmm. You know, the Jesus said, if you want to work the works of God, He said, believe. And we said, well, I believe. Well, we get to a point that all we can do is believe. And that's where the thief on the cross was. Mm-hmm. He was recognized. But once we believe, and once we're not hanging on the cross, then there's something for us to do. But I can't figure that out if I'm out there running around doing my own thing or going to work, raise my family. If I'm not having that quiet time, having that time with the Lord, then I'm not really fulfilling my destiny.
No, you just squeeze God out of the picture, Jim.
I go back to living in the amusement park. I want to be entertained. I want comfortable pews. I want the right music. I want the right message. But then again, it's all about me. Serve me. And it all goes back to that one root. Well, if they don't serve me, I will withhold my money from this organization.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong intentions. So what we're living in, Tom, is we're living in the days that are evil. There's evil out there. I mean, I don't want to sound doom and gloom, but it's like that Good Samaritan. He went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he got into rescue and recovery. He rescued that man who was beaten half dead. You think if you're half dead, you might be on life support?
Yeah. There's just a thread hanging between the living and the non-living there.
And we think we have so much to offer God.
That's a new one.
Our pride tells us, hey, I have more to offer God than I'm really willing to give. Mm-hmm. And God's thinking, okay, keep traveling down that road to Jericho.
Let's see how this works out for you.
Let's see. And we talked about Jerusalem. It's high elevation, way above sea level. Jericho is way below. So we're talking about Jerusalem, heaven, mm-hmm. Jericho, earth. So God is trying to give us a metaphor on this world right here, how critical it is that we take His word serious. But I can live 70, 80, 90 years and still not discover these things, Tom.
Many people don't.
And go and I breathe my last breath, and then I'm preached into heaven. I mean, I'm not missing anything. All my friends, I go to these funerals, are all preached into heaven. So, you know, I'm gonna join Aunt Bertha in heaven.
Just be mindful that there's a lot that goes on between here and there. And
between Jerusalem and Jericho.
You bet.
And what happens, Tom, is Abraham, he didn't talk about heaven.
No.
He talked about looking for a new city whose builder and maker was God. Sure, Jerusalem is in the celestial, but that, you know, that's not what God's not focusing on heaven. He's focusing on getting those who've passed the test, who've passed the boundaries, who are found faithful, getting them into Jerusalem to be His eternal government. He has a purpose and a plan. And then one day, that Jerusalem, we're told in Revelation, it's going to sit back down on earth. But let's go to our sponsors. I believe we have K&M Lawn Care.
We don't have it right here on me here, so we'll have to fix that here in just
a second. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Let me plug Aaron while you're doing that.
Well, let's do that.
Aaron's Automotive. He has been a fine friend of the clinic for 5, 6, 8 years now, and if someone's looking for a master mechanic, he has a team now. When I first met him, he just was working by himself, but now he has 6 or 8 men working for him. If someone would like to go and get an estimate on some type of car deal, they can reach Aaron at 918-440-9754.
Okay.
440-9754. K&M Lawn Care. They're working out of Dewey. Their number is 534-8045. That's 534-8045. That's K&M. Kelly and Melissa, they're a husband-wife team. They've just trimmed some bushes for me recently. They've always done a good job on lawn care, on trimming bushes, on I don't know. They do a variety of landscaping, different things. So
it sounds like they have a ball being together and doing it all.
They do it all. They'll work. They'll get up and work from daylight to dusk. So.
So they're invested in each other and invested in the product as well.
That's it. And I just want to emphasize once again, Tom, well, everything we talked about this morning, I think Mary, she hit the nail on the head because she camped out at Jesus' feet and Jesus said, Mary has chosen the one thing that's needful. But we don't take time to do that. We don't take time to have our be still and know.
You got to do that. You have to do that every day. Sometimes a couple of times a day. It doesn't hurt.
And that's what we do there at the clinic, Tom. People come in. They have their quiet time. They have their journaling. We've added quite a few DVDs to our curriculum. And these DVDs, they really stretch you to the limit. They take you to the place where no man has ever been before.
Well, we've got to go. We got to go to those places, those good places here.
Those good places.
And be comfortable with that instead of this amusement park we've been talking
about. Well, that's right, Tom. And that's really, I see that out there in the world, just how we want to highlight what is convenient, what's ideal for me. But that's not, I don't see God providing convenience and comfort for his people.
We've got to be mindful of things. And we've got to, again, get all gets back to the boundaries. It all gets back to knowing God and being still and knowing that God is there.
You have really wrapped it up in a very tremendous way, Tom. And as we know the boundaries, as we're found faithful in the boundaries, then he can put us on that springboard or that diving board to get us higher in him. But we first of all have to be faithful in the boundaries. And I've had people, I know we just have about a minute left. I know people who they think God's going to do some great work, but it's not going to happen until they're found faithful in the small things. And this very, you know what the smallest, the most insignificant thing is in God's kingdom? I just throw you out a trivia question. The most insignificant thing?
Hit me.
Money.
Money. There you go. Should've known that. We've been talking about it all day,
and,
right?
And we take it as the most important thing.
Yeah.
So let me get my phone number, 918-397-0284. That's 918-397-0284. We're at 132 Southeast Chalwell. If someone would like to come and pay me a visit or give me a call, I'd be sure welcome them, and I would be glad to serve them and kind of show them what we do there at the clinic because we have devised a tremendous curriculum.
All righty, and we'll get them there ASAP. Thank you very much, Kurt. Always great to see you, man.
Residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority. This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227 CQ Bartlesville.